Hello, everybody. Today, we're going to talk about money spent on chess. This was inspired by a tweet by a guy named Andy Green. I don't know him, but he said, hot take, you should never spend any money on chess. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. In my own personal experience, I haven't actually spent that much money on chess. It's one of the beautiful things about the game is it doesn't cost that much to play. One of the crazy misnomers, I think, before the pandemic, especially, like, people thought of chess as a rich man's game, you know, and then in shows and stuff, it was always the rich kid playing chess. No, it's not that way. Chess is being played all across the world. You don't need a lot of money to play the game. But still, it's an interesting question. If you have a little bit of cash, how is it best spent? And the one thing I'll preface this is the things we're talking about, we're going to address them as of today, 2024. Because chess is evolving. We'll talk a little bit about that too. Some of these things meant more or less, you know, 30 years ago than they do now. So what we're going to do is we're going to just go topic by topic and put them in there. S stands for supreme. That's a millennial thing that Kosi always has to explain to me. And then we got A, B, C, D. There's no F because millennials are opposed to failure.
I actually think this is like a Gen Z thing. I'm just going to say, I feel like this is newer. this tier lists are pretty fresh. I mean, this is like,
okay, I'm just saying there's no complete failure, but there's the D anyway. So that's the bottom of the barrel. There is the D.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Yeah, I guess we should say we'll try to make it audio friendly for the podcast listeners, but this might be one you want to check out on YouTube if you want to see the graph as we're building it.
So for our purposes, the D means do not buy or do not spend.
Do not spend. Yeah.
I mean, it's red. You know, it's like a light red. It's color coded and it's pretty clear. It's no go. Do not touch.
Yeah.
Fail. We can call it F. It's just, I was going to put F, but that's just too much. Like, do we really need like a D or an and an F? Like, okay, like it's bottom tier.
F minus.
Yeah.
We can do the bottom, ABC. The way they've added it. The way they've added S at the top, at the bottom, you could add A for awful. Absolute worst.
And in all these things, we're allowed to change our minds. We can come back at the end. We might change our minds at the end after being persuaded by the others.
Yeah, we can rearrange it.
Yeah. That would be great to see somebody change their mind about something. Let's all write that.
Yeah. Okay, where do you guys want to start? Because we don't have to just go in order. We can do whatever, down by rows or left to right, whatever you want to do.
Sounds like chaos. Going left to right seems like it'll keep us going.
Yeah. All right, Kosi, where do you put the books, boss?
Okay, books. Wow, we're starting with a big one right off the bat. Chess books, I mean, maybe we'll change it. I like immediately I'm just like S tier. Like, just, I don't know. That's my first instinct. I thought about this a little bit, but with a good chess book, that's a ton of hours that you spend. And compared to a lot of the other stuff on this list, chess books are going to be a lot less expensive. It's like a one-time fee. You keep the book for life. You can reread it multiple times. So like a couple of good chess books can keep you busy for like months studying chess. So for me, they're right off the bat. I'm like S tier.
All right.
You haven't yet calibrated with your tiers, right? Because it's just the first one looks good.
It's just first one is just like, oh, wow. I mean, yeah, chess books. Who could? Well, okay. I did do a video on this on our YouTube several years ago where I ranked a couple of stuff. I don't remember if I'm sure I talked about books in the video, but yeah, I feel like I have thought about this for many years, and I've always, like, to me, books have always felt like extremely, extremely cost effective compared to other stuff.
Yeah. I love books, but I think that's like an old take. I think I'm going to leave some room above them for some more modern stuff that's more cost effective. So I'll put them at A or B maybe to start off with and get convinced later to move them up.
So, Kosi, are you guys putting them in there, and how are we marking it for like each?
We're going to average. We're going to average our ranking. So I'm saying S. David says A or B.
Yeah.
Okay. A or B. I'm gonna go for A, and great. One of the things with books, though, it's really important to say, especially if you're just, you know, thinking about this now, is like, I feel like there is a divide culturally between my older generation who grew up with the text reading and the younger generation which did not grow up reading. It takes practice to read well in general, not just chess books. But then with chess books, there's definitely an acquired skill where, for example, you know, you're holding the page open. You gotta, oftentimes you'll go off in your own analysis and then you gotta find your way back to the position and set the pieces up correctly, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so there's a visualization component involved with that. And I know that for the younger generation that did not grow up with books, that books for them are not user friendly, right? And that was the exact words that a 7-year-old told me once at a chess game when I gave him a prize. He was like, this is not user friendly. And so I have complete respect for that. I understand. But like Coast just said, the books are cheap. You know, you can get there's so many great chess books you can get for practically nothing out there. So I'm going to put it in A, and I guess that's where we're averaging to.
Yeah.
All right.
I want to point out two important qualifications or variables in this, right? Which is which books,
mm-hmm.
and does the person who buys the books then read them or not? To me, those are two really important variables, because I've seen people with a bookshelf full of 50 opening books that they haven't read. Mm-hmm. Or even they've got good books, you know, game collections of Kramnik, Gelfand, Kasparov, Shirov. Yeah. They haven't read them. So first of all, you're not going to read them. That's immediate, like, you know, D, right? And second of all, most books are opening books. I think more than half of all books written about chess are opening books.
Mm.
And those are all D tier as well. So you have to, first of all, buy a book like, you know, written by Mikhail Tal or Garry Kasparov or Alexander Alekhine, right? Not a book written by, should I say a name? Let's not do that to somebody. By somebody who may have written 20 different opening books on 20 different openings. If you buy books that are called Win with the Smith, Mora, Elephant, whatever, no. Those are D tier. So even giving books an A or a B is only assuming that the people are buying good books and reading them. Otherwise, I would drop it way down. And I grew up on books, obviously.
And there's a lot, well, we're going to have that kind of differentiation too on a lot of these other topics, right? Like, you know.
The good ones in some cases.
Yeah, for almost everything. It very much depends on the material. But I feel like that's a good distinction to make. Yeah, the material has to be good. And I totally agree. Opening books are worth way, way less. And some opening books I think are great, but some would be, much lower.
And to be fair, you can find good lists of books out there. We have our own list. But if you just Googled the best chess books, you're going to get a pretty good list. There'll be different lists. And they'll be like, what's the best book list for 1500? You're not, if you ask ChatGPT or Google that, it's not going to be a terrible list. And it's probably actually also not going to be opening books, right? So it's not that hard now to get reasonable lists of books for wherever you're at.
It's true. I've basically never heard anyone recommend an opening book like, oh man, you really got to check out Stopping White with the French. never heard anybody say that to somebody else while walking by a conversation at a chess tournament. Yeah. I'll give them an A- for now.
Okay. All right. So we're at A. I'll tell you what, I'll start off camps. So I grew up in a very, a place where there were not a lot of chess, but I did, especially as a kid, get to do some great camps. The most memorable was twice I got to go to New York City to do a chess camp for like the top juniors in the country with Edmar Mendes. And it's funny, you know, the East Coast kids were kind of over it because they had a coaching out the wazoo and, you know, they were like, this isn't special. But to me, it was amazing. And it wasn't just the instructor, but it was like the ability to spar with other people. It was the ability to hear their opinions and then, you know, contrast it with mine, to debate over things. And to have the experience, this is really important for me anyways, of being around players who are stronger than you, and in a way you can aspire to what they're doing. You hear a little bit of their life story. You know, it's not just some abstract person out there, right? It's like a real person. And, you know, then you know them, and then through the years, you see how they develop. Also really amazing. So I'll put the camps up there in A. There's also adult camps. We're hoping to do maybe a dojo camp at some point. And absolutely fantastic. One of the things I don't like about the U.S. Chess School, which me and Kostya oftentimes do, is that turned into an online thing in the pandemic. But that U.S. Chess School is actually the successor to what used to be the camp that I went to as a kid. And so it's so much better to meet in real life. There's so many more things you get to do, and the interaction is so much more lively. And, you know, as I said, the personal stories. So yeah, anyways, I'm going to put camps up there in A.
I think USCS, I think they did one or two sessions since the pandemic. So I don't know, maybe they'll come back to that at some point. But yeah, no, I agree with you, Jesse. I think camps are cool. I would probably put them in A tier as well. They're very motivational. I went to a couple U.S. Chess School camps myself, and those are great. Like, not just during the week, obviously you learn a ton, but afterwards you just feel super motivated to like keep working on your chess, and now you have all these like new ideas and like new players to study, and yeah. So it's like, I don't know, it's like a great. They're definitely can be costly, especially if you have to travel for them, but. I feel like they can be extremely beneficial. And a lot of kids have attended these camps. I think most, at least in the U.S., like most of our top juniors kind of grew up going to lots of like chess camps from what I've seen. So, yeah. And sometimes you get to meet like some really top players. Like, so you'll, you know, get to meet like former world champions at these camps. Sometimes they'll have like special guests and like strong GMs. And so that's... I think that's very, very cool for kids and their development. Right. What do you think, David?
Well, I had the same experience as Jesse as a kid. I got invited to Edmer Mendes's camp, and I couldn't believe it. I was beside myself with joy. At the time, New York was the chess capital of the U.S., period. It had all the Soviet emigres. They all went there. They were all concentrated. Anybody... First, they had all the chess secrets in the country, and then like other people from New York who got to interact with them started to have some chess culture and skills, and the rest of the country was like benighted. So for me, that trip was like what I imagined going to Mecca is like for someone of Muslim faith, maybe, because it was incredible to walk down the same streets that Bobby had walked down, you know, visit the same parts where he'd played Blitz, you know, see the same old cranks kibitzing on games who'd probably kibitzed on Bobby's games 50 years before. And to go into the chess clubs where he had, you know, been rude and maybe got to play in them because he was really good and stuff. And, you know, their pictures and everything was steeped in chess history and culture to me. It was incredible. And I agree, Jesse, the East Coast kids seemed less impressed by the whole thing than I was. But for me, it was like the pilgrimage, you know, the first pilgrimage of my life. And I'm also somebody who didn't travel for chess tournaments. As we talk about money spent, you know, I didn't play out of state until I was already a national master. I never played outside of the Bay Area. So to go to New York was like incredible. That said, we're making a tier list based on how good this stuff is compared to the money, right? And camps are incredibly expensive. Oh my goodness, right? There's lodging, there's airfare, instruction, etc. They're one of the least cost-effective things on this entire list. They're inspirational, but you could go to your local chess club and get inspired for $5. So I think camps have to go in tier D.
Wow, so harsh.
For this, for money spent.
Harsh. The once in a lifetime that, opportunity.
After that song of praise.
A beautiful story.
What a beautiful song of praise, and then it goes into D, buddy.
Yeah. It's
as
like
a kid, my heart lit up when I received a letter from the Edmar Bendis Willy Wonka School of Chess and D tier.
Yeah.
Wow. All right, Kosti, where are you putting that thing?
So we got two A's and a D.
Let's call it a B.
So B, is that fair?
Yeah, that's fair.
All right.
Yeah. That's a fair average. I hope that I can convince you over the course of this to rank it lower, because we are trying to tell people where to spend their money on chess. Oops. And they could buy basically everything else on this list for, you know, one camp per year. Buy all the rest of it.
No, not everything. Got tournaments right there.
Okay. Almost everything.
All right, let's go to tournaments, because with tournaments, I kind of totally agree with everything David said about camps. It's just that with camps, I feel like on average, they're usually like super fun and awesome. Whereas with tournaments, on average, they're not fun and awesome, at least for players in the U.S. Like, unless you win the tournament or like do really well, chances are you didn't have a great time and you didn't have a lot of time to like, you know, visit the Fisher's grave or something, right? So...
Right.
I'm not a fan.
Not in the U.S. is grave. So.
Yeah. Even if it was, you wouldn't have time. You know, you wouldn't have time. You could play like 15 open tournaments in the U.S. and never have time to really sightsee much of anything.
Agreed.
So,
in fact, I've probably played something like 200 open tournaments in the U.S. and I have never sightseen at a U.S. chess tournament. I think ever at any of those tournaments. You know, Philadelphia is an interesting historical site. I haven't, you know, if they've got Liberty Bell or something there, I haven't seen it. You know, New York, they have like whatever, the Empire State Building or something. Nope, nothing, never, nowhere. Just hotel rooms and chess.
I mean, okay, definitely you could have, you know, you just got to arrive like a day earlier. But
you just have to come early and do a separate part of the trip.
And okay, no, to be fair, some tournaments are obviously fun and cool and in the U.S. You know, growing up, okay, I played a lot of tournaments as a kid. Of course, I wasn't paying for those. It was my parents paying for those, right? But I don't think it was particularly cheap for them, you know, like entry fees, and they got to, you know, drive you and take you there, right? So, and sometimes, you know, especially as a kid, you know, you're traveling for tournaments, so there's no... there's no money prizes, right? I mean, even as an adult, it's not cost effective. But especially as a kid, when you're playing for scholastic events, right? That's just playing for trophies and a lot of times just fun and experience. So it's really just like an investment in the future for kids and parents. But for adult players, I mean, I don't know. It could be even worse, right? Because you're taking time off from work and... family and so on.
By their nature, all of these things are investments. It's not like you buy a book and you've got a 20% chance that there's a $200 bill in the back.
All right. Oh, books, so, I mean, what are you saying? Is it D tier for you? Is that where you're putting it, Bob?
Oh, for I don't know if it can be like D tier. I would say like C or D.
Okay. Yeah. By the way, Kosti's had a couple bad tournaments.
I did just have a bad
tournament. Chat is quick to notice, like, man, somebody doesn't like tournaments. How did he do in his last tournament?
but that was here. I mean, that was, you know, it was local. I didn't have to travel or you know, normally it's like a flight, hotel. I mean, it's very expensive. So this one was quite cheap comparatively. Yeah. So not jaded.
So it was a good deal.
Yeah, I don't regret it at all.
Okay, where is it? So it's going C for you.
Well, you guys got to rank it. What do you guys think?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to say A tier. You got to play. I mean, it's kind of necessity, absolute necessity to play tournaments. You are fooling yourself if you think you are going to improve at chess without going to tournaments. End of statement. You know, what are you going to do? Play online? No. You know, you're never going to get.
literally, what's the point of anything else on this list if you don't go to tournaments afterwards?
And I could put it on S tier. I could totally put it on S tier. But I'm saving that for my special little friend. So I'm going to put that. I'm going to put tournaments on A for me. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, to me, it's like a laugh if we don't put it at S, because as we're saying, like every other investment here is to then go to a tournament. So all the others are like lost unless you go to tournaments. Yeah. Also, I'll bring up a little stat from some time back. Jesse put out a poll on Twitter,
mm-hmm.
you know, and like the followers came flooding in, you know, 10,000 votes, 50,000 votes. What activity brings the most rating gain out of any of the activities that we're sort of recommending, out of some of the main activities that we're having people do in the Dojo training program? Have people guess.
Right.
Because he put a crack statistician on the question and had the answer ready for us.
Yeah.
And of course, I guessed an OTB game. Playing a single OTB game for a single dojo point is going to be the dojo point with the highest impact on the players' rating games.
Right.
And of course, that was the correct answer as well. Mm-hmm. So tournaments are the most effective thing you can do for getting better at chess, for enjoying chess, for being inspired, hanging out with other people. They're the best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, potentially, they're the most expensive after camps, basically, which is like, you know, the cruise of the chess world.
The cruise of the chess world.
But here's what I'm going to say. You can bootstrap it, folks. You're not going to hear me talk about this in economics too often, but you can bootstrap it. Lift yourself up. I made it in the chess world without traveling to tournaments. I went to chess tournaments I could walk to. I went to chess tournaments with $10 entry fees. And, you know, I didn't go to some Goichberg tournament and invest, you know, $1,000 in some gamble to try and win $5,000. That's not the point of going to a tournament. I logged the most games I could per dollar I spent, right?
Okay, but David, that's what we're talking about. For most people, when we say tournaments, they're thinking about like World Open, Chicago Open, things like this.
Forget the World Open. Don't go kill yourself at a Goichberg event unless you live in, you know.
Well, that's what I'm ranking as like C or D. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, but time out. I think it's really important to say, actually, if anyone's going to be on a chess journey, let's say all the way to GM, the most expensive thing that will happen is what Coast is going through, where you're an IM, and then you want to go to these events to get a GM norm. There are 9-round events.
Yeah.
And you got to fly there. Oftentimes the IMs have to pay to play in the event, sometimes substantial fees. So that is Kostas' experience, and that's why he's ranking so low. But first of all, before you get to that point, you're playing at local events and you're not traveling hectic amounts. But it's that phase of a chess player's journey where it will be very expensive. And when I was going for GM, I will say I was dirt poor. I had reduced my expenses to an absolute minimum. And I had to pick and choose those tournaments wisely, and they were expensive. And, you know, yeah, so I understand Kostas' pain. But it is a higher level of expense, though, than your average person who is just going to their local tournaments.
Maybe, yeah. But I don't know.
Jesse had sold his car, no health insurance, trying to bike to the tournament. If he got hit by a car,
I didn't turn on the heat in the wintertime. Dude, it was real, man. Yeah.
I don't know. Look, I think about 2100 is when a lot of players feel like they have to play these open events, because a lot of players aren't in like New York, or let's say like, okay, back in the day, Los Angeles did have open events. Not that many, actually. And these days, Los Angeles has like very few like actually strong tournaments. You usually have to travel to like Orange County or San Diego, even if you live in Los Angeles, which you think would be very popular. Also, I feel like, okay, huge thing you guys are missing is that most chess players don't even play tournaments. Most chess players have like never played a tournament. They just play like online, and they do play casually, and they're still interested in like improving their game, but without going to like OTB tournaments. Like, they just want to play online. And for them, like, I don't think tournaments are actually necessary. They can play like small local events. What's that?
I said, he got us, Jesse. He's punking us.
No.
Well, let's just say, big picture, what's happening, right, is especially chess.com, is getting rid of all, like, they don't even have a classical time control like Lee Chess does, and it's just a rapid rating where you get it like a 10-0 game counts as, you know, this thing that we're actually using in the program. And so in the pandemic, a lot of people came to chess. Many of them have never played even over the board at all, not even for fun. So there is this cultural shift happening. But you're not going to do deep thinking in front of your screen. That's just not something that happens in front of your screen. So anyways, how about this? David's saying S, I'm saying A, Kosi's saying C. Let's put it at A. Is that fair?
I think that's the average.
Okay.
Yeah. And let me say, like, I exaggerated a little bit about walking to them. I took public transit and so forth, you know, and I know that people don't have tournaments so close to them. Like, if you live in Montana, it might be like a long ways to a tournament, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I was just sort of speaking with some kind of fun verve and bravado or whatever. And I do think that seriously, there are ways to get up to a reasonable level without playing super expensive tournaments, right? And I do agree it will at some point be a really big cost, but depending on, you know, what the chess level is in your area, you might be able to get to 2,000, 21, or 2,200 before you need to travel mm-hmm. too far. And so you can do it, you know, more cheaply. You can carpool with other chess players or, you know, take a bus.
But we also, we have clubs on the list. So for me, clubs, I mean, I'm going to be ranking higher for sure. Mm-hmm. Because that they fit that profile more than tournaments do.
Yeah.
Okay, but let's keep going.
Okay. Coaching. I'll take coaching.
Oh, that's a big one.
I'm going to put coaching pretty low. I have a coach now. I think it's great. I really enjoy it. But in general, I think coaching is... First of all, David called camps the cruise, but really the cruise is the personal coach. And when you go to a camp and, you know, you're in a, let's say, a class setting, I've taught camps, I've been in camps, it's not nearly as expensive as one-on-one coaching. One-on-one coaching, oh my gosh. And
you could consider it like maybe therapy, Jesse, instead of a coach.
And
instead
honestly, a lot of people, this is
therapy,
not a joke,
with no insurance.
Have used me kind of like a therapist. It sounds like a joke, but no, that I've really, you know, got into it with people, and it is like therapy for a lot of people. The other thing that's very tricky about coaching as a coach, and one of the reasons I really wanted to start the training program, was in general, people aren't going to do what you say. In general, they are going to use you as a crutch for, like, their deep study time will be you. And then you'll tell them to go off and do certain things, and they generally won't do it, especially if it's hard. So the weird thing about coaching is it's very difficult for the coach to have a training plan in the way that, say, the chess dojo has a training plan, because that student will have, you know, like anybody out there, will have a bunch of stuff. There'll be resources everywhere. They won't know what to choose. And the coach, at best, really can just kind of go over their games and show them things that they're missing. But it's hard for that coach then to give a detailed training program and then for that student to follow it. So I'm going to put coaching as a C. By the way, coaching, you can get some cheap guy from Eastern Europe, possible. But it can, you know, we're looking at $100 an hour, maybe as the average for coaching. So it's expensive. It is very expensive. Actually,
average.
I want to say too.
No,
I would say,
out of touch.
I would say too that for me personally, I always felt bad about it. That's how I got by for years was coaching. And for me, the training program, you know, Bruce is the communist here, but I sometimes have feelings, you know. Not often do I have feelings, but I have some feelings that I was like, this is too, it's so many people would write to me. They're like, boss, be my coach. And I'd be like, I don't have the time and it costs too much. So this was my way with the training program being like, I also get to plug that thing in my life where people are asking and I have to either say no, or it's this outrageous amount that I even feel bad saying what it is. So anyways, coaching is a C.
I do. What do you think?
That seems overall fair. Yeah. It's rather expensive among things left on here. And I mean, in my own life, coaching was great because I had a great coach and he didn't charge me for the lessons. So for me personally, it was like, you know, S tier infinity or whatever, my own experience with coaching. But I think in general, coaching is probably C tier. And that's not even getting into the varying quality of coaching, right? There are probably coaches who just phone it in, who don't even prepare for their lessons. Because I've heard of people who teach, you know, 8 lessons a day or something like that. When are they preparing those lessons? You know, when are they playing over their students' games outside of the lesson, not during the lesson, outside of the lesson, and thinking about what they should be teaching that student, thinking about a training plan for them and all that. No, I mean, and I've spent my life also with people saying, can you give me lessons? And I don't really have time. Can you recommend anybody? Nah, I've never seen anybody who is a good chess coach, so I can't really recommend anybody. You know, they're all trash. You know, why would you pay for that? So I think, you know, unless you get really, really, unless you get, you know, the A+ coach and they give you a really good rate, in general, coaching's not going to be a very good way to spend your money. But maybe one exception to that is, I think if you're in a plateau, you know, one lesson here and there be useful when you hit different plateaus, you know, a review now and then or a check-in or something. But regular weekly lessons are not going to be very useful, and they're going to be very expensive for most people.
Right. Actually, in terms of quality, Kosi said I was out of touch with 100. I would say if you're going to GM coach or even an IM coach, yeah, it's going to be up there.
GM or IM.
Somebody lower.
100.
You know, yeah.
But oh, yeah, I'm not even talking about paying for private coaching from a 1300. I wasn't even talking about that. But, yeah, that would be D minus, right? Like,
well, 1300 is low. But, I mean, there's plenty of, like, expert-level coaches that are, I think, more than sufficient for lower-level players.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. I'm sure there's going to be a whole range of levels and prices, right? And skills at teaching and coaching and interest in teaching and coaching, right? There's people who teach and coach because they want to be chess players, and then it's like a natural way to make income, right? And there's going to be other people who are passionate about teaching.
All right, Kosi, where are you putting this thing?
So I think this is one that like really varies a lot, because I'm with you guys. Like if you have like a long time coach and it's just like weekly lessons, and then it feels like the student isn't really progressing a ton, then that's a total waste. But really good coaching can be S tier. And I mean, like it's very rare for someone to become a good player without just any coaching whatsoever. Right. So it is kind of necessary at some points to improve. So I would probably average it somewhere around like the B tier.
Okay. So we got 2 C's and a B. It sounds like a C.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be C for coaching.
It's a good point from Kosi. This has one of the most wide ranges of how good or bad it could be, and how valuable it could be, and what the price could be. So,
yeah, there you go.
Yeah. But it is, to me, it is definitely one of the pricier things, because it's like you're just paying for an hour of someone's time. And it's not something that like you just like if you buy a course and you don't use it for a year, but then you go through it, then you're still getting a ton of value from it. And if you go to a camp, like you're there in person, like it's so hard to like disconnect and not get value from that. But like long time coaching, yeah, that can be it can be kind of slow.
OK, well, you mentioned courses. Let's do courses.
Courses. OK, so here we got to say we're talking about like online courses typically, and these can range from like $20 to even like $200 if you're buying them with like video and stuff. Mm-hmm. And this could be like Chessable. There's you know, Chessbase has courses. There are other sites. You know, some people just sell their own courses. So it kind of varies here a little bit, but Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
Right, and I should mention too that, let's say that, just use Chessable as an example, they're the biggest purveyor of courses. And, you know, they basically have three tiers, like a lot of economic systems do. There's a kind of a free tier where, you know, they give you a little taste of, maybe it's an opening course or whatever it is they're talking about. And then there is just a tier without video. And then there's the tier with the video. And that's generally very expensive, often well over $100. And it costs a lot. It takes a lot to produce the video. They put a lot of effort into making it look right. And oh my God, it's a whole, I've created two courses. That was a lot of work to create those things. And the people you're talking to at Chessable, they're always on European vacations. So you're going to write them an email. You don't know when they're going to get back to you. So anyways, Kosti, I just wanted to clarify that. I'm sorry, I interrupted.
Right. So how do you rank courses? That's what I'm a total... Dude, Jesse's like Trump. He just goes off on complete tangents. You know? So, by the way, so yeah, so how do you...
I just wanted to clarify what it is we were talking about and how much it costs. Sorry.
And how frustrating it was for you personally to make them.
Oh, it was so frustrating.
So yeah, we're not ranking, the making of courses, but...
But should people buy them?
Me, I mean, I feel like courses... if you compare, you know, let's say you have like a 12-hour video course with some grandmaster, if you compare the price of that, which, you know, people generally say it's expensive, but if you compare that with 12 hours of coaching with that same person, it's usually a fraction of the cost. And a lot of times the material is just as good, right? I mean, it's just the person presenting what they see about the game. It's not as interactive, obviously, as coaching. You don't get that feedback, but a lot of times the material in courses, I think, can be quite good. Personally, I've learned a ton from courses. Like, I've done like chess-based courses and like some Chessable stuff, not as much. A lot of the Chessable courses I've done are just like books. So it's not really like a course, it's just a book. So I don't know if that really counts for this one as much. But yeah, for me, actually, I feel like they're similar to books in that maybe they're slightly more expensive, but they still give you a ton of value. Especially if you like engage with the course and there's a lot of material, you know, a lot of courses, you know, it's not just videos. They give you a ton of material to work through, like a bunch of model games to study, or like exercises, you know, and that's a lot of time. And I think that's very, I think, you know, there, again, with books, right, there's a lot of variability, but I think the best courses are just as good as the best books.
Okay. Yeah. To me, courses are kind of like the modern books. So, right. You know, I have to rank them similar to where I ranked books, right? Which is somewhere between an A and a B for me.
Yeah, I'd go with like A personally.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. For me, courses are a C, and they're different for me from books for the following reasons. They are, whereas books force you to be interactive and force you to be away from the computer, the courses, like, it's passive learning in the same way that like watching chess YouTubes is going to be for the most part passive learning. Yes, there's like this monkey thing that Chessable's got where you like repeat the moves and you do the space repetition, and that's an interesting gimmick. But ultimately, it's not an active sense of like, Baus, let's work on this. And also what's funny about the Chessable courses is like, I do, as a user, I do want the video. And so with that video, it just, the price really goes up a lot. So I'm going to put the courses as a C.
Yeah. I don't see why courses would be so much less interactive than books. In some ways, it doesn't force you to move the pieces around yourself, which is a thing that some people find annoying, but is a way of maybe forcing you to interact with the stuff. But there's other techniques and courses to make you interact, like, you know, quizzes around like they give you some material and then they ask you some questions about it, or know, worksheets in between videos or things like that. So I feel like on the whole, like there's maybe a different flavor, but does it have to be less interactive? Couldn't it be comparable?
My experience is not. That I was telling you my experience, I guess, you know. It is not as interactive as the books. Because there's going to be like a, yeah, it's kind of like when I'm reading New York 1924 or something, there's like a pursuit of truth going on. Alekhine has this opinion. I know the computer will probably do something different. So I'm going to dig and I'm going to dig and I'm going to dig. No, it's not how it happens when I'm relating the courses. Generally, let's say an opening course, some GM has gone through with the computer some line and has some recommendations. And the best part of it might be them explaining some concepts in the video. And then the video is pretty expensive. So mm-hmm. that's why for me, it's kind of as a C. Yeah. Okay, right. What are we averaging out here too?
Yeah, that would average to a B at the moment, right?
Okay.
So I said A.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
David, you're saying A or B?
Yeah, somewhere on the borderline between those.
A minus. Plus, Jesse says C.
Okay.
So
step down from books. Step down.
So B. All right. Yeah, that works. Okay. Online programs. So yeah. This includes things like the Dojo training program. But other online programs as well. There's like Killer Chess Training. There's the new mm-hmm. the Chess Gym. There's other sites as well. So it's a little bit different. I also have like online sites on this list, which for me is more like these sites like Aim Chess, Decode Chess. That's kind of what I was thinking in mind. Online programs mm-hmm. are going to be more like coaching based. Mm-hmm. And it's like usually more like interaction with the student compared to like, let's say like more like AI sites where things are more automated. So we're a little biased. I feel like the Dojo program is a good value, but I feel like we shouldn't talk about it. Obviously, we think it's a good value. I feel like we should just discuss this, I don't know, in general. This is a hard one.
Well, yeah. let me frame it this way, is that while I think the Chess Dojo training program is great, we also have now some imitators, which is cool. Like kind of the way there was CrossFit, you know, and then other people came around. Now there's Orange Theory and there's F45 and they're just kind of copying the same model. Great. So with the online programs, what I don't want to sell you on with, and this I'll sell you later, but on with the Chess Dojo training program, the thing to actually bear in mind that's important about any online program is simply that it provides you a structure. And that was one of the principles of the Chess Dojo training program, which is like, listen, people are losing their minds out there because they've got thousands of different like influencers and people saying this and that, little Instagram shorts telling you to do something, you know? And so they don't have a cohesive plan. So, and even with the Chess Dojo training program, I don't want to try to sell you on the idea that it's the best ever. That's, you don't have to believe that. But what you have to do with any online program is just be like, here is something that I can believe in, right? And if I follow it, I trust the program, that's really, really important, and I'm not going off into my own and doing this and that on the side. If I trust the program, then it will bear results. Fantastic. Very, very important. And it's something I didn't have as a kid, and I really wish I had, because even though there wasn't Instagram influencers, there was this book and that book, and I didn't know that Fred Reinfeld was terrible. I just picked that book up from the library. That book sent me back like 2 years. So I had a program telling me, Bows, it's this book, then that book, then that book. Would have been amazing. So I'm going to put it as A tier, the online programs.
Yeah. Me too. Similar reasons. One thing to note with it is it can improve your money spent in all the other categories, right? Because it tells you which book to read. So now you're, you know, as we said, like all these other categories, there's a whole range, right? Like it can tell you, you know, this is when you need to get coaching, when you've like done this much of our training program and you haven't, you know, moved up a level, or you haven't seen progress, or you're on a, you know, it can tell you which book to buy, which course to study, tell you which ones not to study, save you a lot of money there, right? So I think it's fantastic. And this is a little bit what I was alluding to on the very first one with books, where I was saying like, let's leave some room for some more modern innovations, because things tend to improve with time, right? And there are some ways in the modern world that we can improve on a book that they had 100 years ago. And I think this is one of them, you know, a training program that culls knowledge and information from a bunch of people and provides structure and tells you where to spend the rest of your money. I think that's fantastic. I don't think we've covered anything yet other than OTB tournaments that I would put above it. So, A.
Okay.
All right. Enough selling. All right, A tier is good. Put it there. Yeah. Clubs.
And killer chess training, by the way, I think it's like much more expensive than our program. Mm-hmm. But I still would give it, you know, that kind of a ranking for how effective and useful it is because of what Jesse said about the structure. Like, it tells you, like, do this. It's like regular. It makes you do sweat work, right? And they've got a different approach, and they've got super GMs on their roster. And they focus on like a lot of hard puzzles and homework, right? But you've got something to just follow, and you're not wasting your money and time on everything else, and you're putting in sweat work. And in the end, it's less expensive than sort of dissipating yourself everywhere.
Right.
Yeah. No, like Jesse was saying, I think just the idea of having a structure is already very, very useful. And yeah, killer chess training. I mean, I think it's great. I mean, I feel like it's probably maybe better for like high rated players, but they've had some great results. Yeah, I think the consistency there is just the most important thing.
And they're, you know, well, and they kind of bleed into camps, because it seems like that's what one of the main features of their thing is they're doing camps both in real life and by Zoom, right? That's how they're organizing most or a lot of their business.
Yeah. All right, let's keep going.
Yeah.
Clubs.
Clubs is a little confusing to me, and I guess to me I would want to make a distinction between clubs and teams. So, for example, there's a lot of places in Europe will talk about chess clubs. Like, I played for the Viernheim Schachklub, and that was a great institution, but it was really, for me, it was a team, and there was, you know, that we were in the first couple of years, we were second Bundesliga, we made it into the first Bundesliga, and it was great. And so that, though, to my mind, is not the way I normally think of a club. A club, to me, as in distinction to a team, is more of a social thing where people are getting together on a Wednesday or Thursday night and hanging out, maybe playing some blitz. So we might disagree on what a chess club means, but that, to me, is what a chess club means.
Yeah, no, I was thinking, like, you know, something like the Marshall Chess Club, the Mechanics, you know, like some mm-hmm. kind of... It doesn't even necessarily have to have like a physical location. It could just right. like some clubs, they just meet up at a Starbucks on the weekend and they play chess. I would include that. So with clubs,
but not an online club, right? It's got to be something real world.
Right.
I mean, I think online club could be similar, but yeah, in general, it's going to be, let's say, like OTB is kind of how, yeah, I figured. Mm-hmm. You know, you might have some kind of like yearly membership fee, which is usually like not like 30 or 50 bucks a year, maybe right. Like a tournament entry fee. The clubs mm-hmm. I played in growing up, you know, we would do a weekly classical that for me was very useful, where you show up, you play one game a week, like on a Friday night or a Monday night. And those are really cool. Yeah, so we're talking about those kinds of clubs.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I was playing one game a night at the local club, classical, and it was something like $1 a game. Mm-hmm. And now it might be $2 or $3 a game. But still, it's an example of that part sort of bleeds into the OTB like tournament experience, right? These sort of like tournaments that are run over several weeks or months.
Mm-hmm.
It's an example of like a really cheap version of some tournament experience.
Right.
Yeah, for me, those club tournaments, I feel like were great, because you got the one game, you can then analyze it, and it's like a great way to stay in shape in between like weekenders. Mm-hmm. So like all the best parts about tournaments are like these club events. I feel like totally there. It's also fun because sometimes you have like club lectures and special events and blitz, and stuff like that.
I'm going to give it a B.
B?
I'm going to give it a B, yeah.
Wow. I was going to go higher. I was thinking either A or S. Because I feel like actually clubs are...
But Kosi, that's don't confuse it with teams or over the board. I mean, the essence of the club is like a social thing.
You
show some games, you hang out, you have a beer or something, you know.
Yeah.
Well, no, I'm not just thinking about no. I think you guys are thinking too casually. I mean, I think about like a couple examples. Like Bobby Fischer grew up playing at the Marshall Chess Club and like all the time, right? And lots of kids actually have played at the club and have improved a lot. And there's lots of these clubs where these kids grew up. I mean, I think they're actually very, because they're very cheap. That's why I feel like they deserve some.
Jesse should remember getting a GM Norm at a chess club once.
Wow.
No, there's nothing wrong with clubs. What I'm trying to make a distinction though, like actually here, let me make a distinction. So, in a similar way, on ours we have a Chess Dojo Discord that is just for everybody, and people are hanging out and chatting. That to me is our chess club. Our chess team, i.e. this more competitive atmosphere, is the training program, right? So that to me is like the kind of difference in feeling between the two. One is more social, one is more casual, and the other is more concerned with being competitive and making progress. So that's why it's a B for me.
I mean, I got an IM Norm at the Mechanics Institute once. So it's like a place where people who maybe don't even have ratings sometimes hang out during the day playing games together. And then in the evenings, they can have different events. They can have a blitz night. They can have a chess 960 night. They can have a tournament night. They can have a lecture night. And every now and then they can organize an international tournament, et cetera. So I think clubs can be pretty versatile. And what they have is they've got like a local connection, some social element, physical pieces. They're very inspirational, and generally they're not very expensive. So the ratio of like what they bring to you versus what they cost is going to be really, really good, I think.
Okay. So you want to put in A, or what do you want to put it?
I'd
probably go with A.
My ranking for it is S tier.
Okay. Ooh, so it's, wow. So I guess A. It's then A. It's then A. It's decided.
Yeah.
S tier. Oh my God.
Yeah.
You've already had a couple S tiers, boss. You're running out.
My second. That's my second. How many am I allowed, Kostya?
I don't know. I mean, collectively, something has to be an S tier. Jesse hasn't had no S tiers.
Right. Yeah. If we're grading on a curve, though, do I get like 1, 2, 3, 4?
I think, you know, it has to. I think 1 or 2, based on how many we have, makes sense. Maybe 3 maximum. Because we've got like, I don't know, 15 things or so, 14.
Yeah. I had 3 in mind.
Let me get a little clarification. Because I have GM privilege, I don't have to pay for ChessComp. So I want to ask, so when you don't have the premium, tell me if my understanding is right. Like you can do 1 puzzle rush a day, but you can still play as many games as you want, right?
Yes.
So what are the things you get with premium?
One thing you get is you get rid of ads, but more interestingly or importantly is you get access to the teaching material. So you get access to video lessons, you get access to more, you know, tactical puzzles per day. And in the old days, I don't know exactly how the structure is today versus a couple of years ago, but, you know, in the old days, they also had courses. And basically, you would have access to all the courses if you bought a membership. Yeah,
I think they're still doing that.
And what does it cost?
The highest tier used to be $100 a year for at least a decade. And I got a communication a couple, maybe like 1 or 2 years ago that they were going to raise the price. And so they were reminding people and giving them a couple month window to buy. And if they wanted to, they may have raised it from like 100 to 120 or something like that.
Yeah, I think it's maybe around 120 for the highest tier. But generally, it's going to be, between 100 and 120.
Okay.
For the year.
Yeah. And there's three tiers of premium, so to speak. So there are lower ones too. But let's just assume diamond for this.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about you guys, but I'm ranking it high because for me, it's if you compare it to courses, right? Like one course can be anywhere from like $30 to $100. The Chess.com Premium, you get. I don't think people realize because just how much content is in the Chess.com video library. I mean, it's like thousands of hours of, I would say, really quality video lessons. Like, I grew up watching a lot of these lessons. I mean, you guys, I know, have a bunch of videos, but I mean, just tons of like GM coaches, like Shanklin, Kaidanov. I mean, all these guys. I mean, they have like superstars doing videos as well. But I mean, even just like the regular coaches, and then the courses themselves are also like very good. And you got like courses from like Silman and all these other like great coaches. So I mean, if you actually like use the material, I mean, it's an endless trove of useful content. So it's, if you actually use it, I mean, I feel like it's incredibly cost effective. So I would say like A or S tier, honestly.
Well, yeah. This is an example of, you know, modern improvement, right? And the fact that instead of having a one-on-one lesson or even like a book, which already multiplies the lesson, right? But by having thousands of coaches provide really great material and then selling it to a million people, you can end up selling it on pennies compared to what chess knowledge and instruction used to cost. So, you know, obviously I'm biased to some extent, the same way you guys could be with the Dojo training program, since I sort of designed like the diamond tier idea and like what was the content and a lot of that content. But to me, that's kind of like, that's the clear example how modern stuff surpasses things. It handily defeats books, because for the cost of a couple books, you can have access to essentially all the books of history. So it's my third and final S tier.
Whoa. Dang.
Okay, I totally disagree. I'm putting this as a C, and this is mostly just my experience using it and seeing other people use it. I feel like those couple things. One, kind of as we had the discussion between books versus courses, I don't believe that passively viewing stuff is going to help you that much. So that's part of it. It has nothing to do with chess.com. But then also, when I've experimented with the courses myself, it was very uncurated. So in the same way, when we talk about free content on YouTube, it's possible to find great content on YouTube, but oh my God, you know, we'll talk about that in a second. Similarly with chess.com, there's so much that I found it unnavigable. And the lessons too, which are part of, I guess you could call it, like they have these little things like learn how to do X and Y. Those felt to me unstructured. And so, yeah, if you just want to go on there and play some chess, that I think is really cool, by the way, that you can go and play for free. I think that's great. So I would put it as a C. They're going to probably kill us for me. They're going to kill me. They're going to kill you guys.
I think we're going to get it both ways. I think there's going to be comments like, these guys are so biased. You know, rank, of course, oh, David Pruitt says chess.com S tier.
That's right, dude. Okay. He's just putting everything S tier over there, man. Give me a
no,
break.
No, I'm just being honest. I mean, look okay. at the multiplier. I mean, this is giving you access to everything, you know. And I've done, you know, multiple Silman courses on chess.com, you know, and I used to have to edit every single video. So I watched, you know, 100 of Kachin's videos, and they were great. And et cetera, you know? So they definitely need something like a training program to go with all the content that's there, right? Structure and direction and what comes after what, et cetera. And I put in some early work on that, but I think it was mostly abandoned after I left. So it's not really clear, but there are still some elements of linkage and some useful pieces. Like, you could do something, Jesse, and then sort of click on a button to practice playing out the position against the computer. There's some positions where that's not useful to do, but there's some where it is. Like, you you learn something and then you just click a button and boom.
Am I right in thinking that you can't use the bots either if you don't have premium?
I think you might not be able to use the sort of what I used to think of as the computer workout feature, like the ability.
The endgame drills?
Right. Yeah, the endgame drills were like a part of it. So there was like a curriculum I put together of like sparring positions, Jesse.
I think some are free and some aren't. Like king and rook or something is free, and then the more advanced ones aren't, something like
that. No, but I mean by the bots, they got like the Karu bot and the Magnus bot.
Oh, I don't know. That stuff is of no value. Is that really what you care about? Free or premium or what?
Oh, I think I actually think that's one of their coolest innovations in the last couple of years because, you know, if you're doing, when I was doing the endgame algos, I would, you know, start at a lower level of those bots and then I'd work my way up. And yeah, it's a whole thing.
Okay, that's kind of fun.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, like a first version of what we now have with our sparring positions was done by me like 14 years ago for that, for what was called computer workout at the time. And it included like an end game curriculum and like winning middle games with extra material against the computer and so forth. And I think that is a premium feature to be able to do that.
Yeah, I think sounds like some bots are free, but not all.
He's saying S, where are you putting it, Bows?
I would go probably go A tier, because I definitely agree it could be better.
So how does that average out?
So we got S, A, C. So I think that's probably A.
Okay.
So I can make more room. It's not a problem. Okay. Just need a second here. But we'll get it done.
Basically, because we don't agree on anything, everything will end up in A.
Yeah, exactly. Smaller.
Okay. Oh yeah, we're gonna just make that list long, buddy. Or you know, just put it next to clubs or something, because you're gonna run out of space, my friend.
We'll figure it out.
Add a second row of A. We don't need the S row or the D row.
Just A through C. I don't know. Maybe
rename
we'll,
all the rows A.
Maybe we'll figure it out later. Maybe we'll adjust it a bit. But yeah, let me. I'll fix the layout real quick.
Well, let's move on. We'll start talking about the next one and while you're fixing it. Mm-hmm. So we got group classes. Maybe I should have objected to this being on the list because group classes are a little bit like camps, but let's assume that it's a little bit like some of the things that we've done in the dojo where, you know, and I've done also where instead of it being one-on-one with a coach, it's cheaper in that you're meeting with, say, five people and then you get to interact with that coach. So that's kind of what we're talking about, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's a little cheaper than private coaching. Exactly.
Right. Yeah, I think this is a cool thing with the group classes, and it's definitely cheaper. I've done many myself. I would definitely take part in some. I can imagine doing that. Like in a lot of ways, what Killer Chess Training is doing is they're doing group classes. I think when you buy into it, right, they're just doing group classes all the time, and like your fee could allow you to step into those. I've done also a lot of coaching at the U.S. Chess School. And I found that mostly a frustrating experience, especially to what I think it would be in real life, because you have like oftentimes just a gazillion kids and some of them are afraid to talk. And then so it's just a couple kids, you know, raising their hand in the little Zoom meeting. So to me, it's not amazing. And I'm going to put it at B, the group classes. There's an element of passiveness about it when you're online, anything online like that. But it's not terrible, so I'm going to go for B. David, what are you thinking? Because Kostya is still working on his layout.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm also thinking about it. I'm not sure either.
I think I gave coaching – did I give coaching a D or a C? I feel like group classes maybe like a – slight improvement on coaching, but it's probably still like in the C range.
Okay.
C to C to maybe a weak B.
All right, Kosu, tell us where you want us to put it.
I was thinking B.
Okay, B it is.
Yeah, so I think it's. I definitely think it's more cost effective than regular coaching. I think it can be just as rewarding. Can be fun. Yeah. Definitely cheaper. Let's see. I could even see myself putting it higher, but yeah, let's call it C because.
All right.
I don't have any more room in A for the moment. Or B, I said. Yeah.
B, all right. Now the next one is the most controversial for a couple of reasons. We got the free content.
Oh, here we go.
And, you know, I guess what we're mostly talking about is YouTube videos. There's other free content out there, but we're mostly talking about YouTube videos. And, of course, it's a little weird because it's free and we've been talking
about it. Well, hold on, Jesse. You got YouTube videos. I got to make the argument. You got YouTube videos.
Yeah.
You got Lee Chess. You know, they got puzzles. They got they got some cool study features. You know, you can drill coordinates and end games and things like that.
Okay.
There's some other free sites as well out there.
There are online blogs and articles that you can find for free.
There's Chess Twitter, Reddit, you know, free resources.
Advice on Twitter, yeah. If you made that a separate category, you know where that would go.
No, but that's part of free content, so that's, I feel like that has to be
included. And then Twitch stream, right? Twitch streams.
Oh, absolutely. Twitch, yeah.
So, yeah, I guess I'll put – I'm going to have one S tier, and this will be my D tier. And I just want to clarify this for the free content. There is great free content out there, and so it does exist. For example, I ran across a beautiful set of vids. It was Plaskett, who's an English GM, interviewing Kasparov with this very low-quality vid production. It was done back in the day before YouTube was even a thing, and he's just going through a lot of his great games and talking through it. Fantastic. So it's there, but the problem is most of it is terrible, and what's happening is you're suffering an opportunity cost, plus you have the situation where you're passive. And what it's going to do, in my experience with just about everyone who's doing free content, using free content, is they are getting moved away from where they should be. Like, I see some weird opening setup a student brings to me, and I was like, oh God, have you been watching some Ginger GM video? You know, they gotta smell it and be like, oh God, it was some Ginger GM did another course, you know, like E4, C5, Bishop E2, makes me want to scream. And
but now you're talking a Chessable course, not a free video.
I think there's a lot of stuff that's like that, though. It's on there, you know, he does both. A lot of people, myself included, I've done videos out there. In any case, free content is there, but you're not going to be able to simply find it. You're going to wade through a morass before you find good material. And so it's, even though it's free, it's the worst of all these things because it's so uncurated, you're not going to find your way through, and you're actually going to get so much conflicting advice that it's not going to be helpful. It's going to be very counterproductive.
And it's hidden. I can know what video I want to watch and have it not come up. You know, like I can type into YouTube the title of a video Kostya did and Kostya's name, and it'll return to me 5 Gotham Chess videos. And I can't find Kostya's video.
Well, maybe we're shadow banned. Maybe that's the problem.
No, sometimes it shows a video of ours.
Okay, that's good.
But there's definitely, it's hard to find stuff, even if you know what you're looking for. Now and then you find some good stuff.
All right. Okay, David, where's it going, buddy? As a communist, you'd think that this has got to be up there kind of high.
Yeah.
It's a sad reality. A lot of great chess teachers are putting their content out for free, hoping that somehow one day they'll make a living. Sad reality. There is some good stuff out there. And for a lot of the other things we've, you know, said, like, well, let's assume that, you know, they're reading good books and not, you know, and not a bad book. But I agree with Jesse that it's unstructured and very, very hard to find stuff. And that the ratio is really bad. I mean, the ratio is not actually that good on chess books. It's just that on chess books, like, the good ones are generally deservedly famous.
Good point. Right. Like, the free content, it's, yeah. Oh my God.
You don't have to be a genius to find out that, you know, that, that Alekhine and Kasparov and, you know, Hall and Botvinnik and Fischer put out good books, right? Like, it's not hard to find my 60 memorable games.
Mm-hmm.
On YouTube, right. It's harder. There's a lot of things that are getting pumped by like a random algorithm that's not exactly reflective of.
Well, it's not random. It's, you know, what do the people want? They want the like funny video that Gotham Chess does or Hikaru does. They want a little chess drama mixed in there. That's the stuff that pops up every mm-hmm. time.
Yeah, so, stuff with some like emotional, human kind of social spice to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's not somehow reflective of a general wisdom of what is good educational materials, right? Whereas, like, all the books that we think are great, most of them are in generally high regard, you know, like, you can hear about them. Obviously.
All right, communists, where's it going?
So on average, I guess people are probably not getting much out of free content generally. So I'll give it a C. That's generous.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good point, you know, about the opportunity cost, because I feel like that is the biggest thing with free stuff, is that you don't really know what you're getting. There are guides out there. Like, if you go to the chess Reddit, and, you know, there will be resources like Little Study Plan and like the best YouTube videos. And there's lots of good content on YouTube. You know, we've got a pretty good channel. You know, there's other creators as well. And there are lots of videos that often do get cited as like really good series. So yeah, another thing I want to say, it's way better than it used to be because of YouTube and just in general, the internet, and there being more free resources and stuff. So I feel like, compared to a decade ago or so, I think it's like a night and day difference. So I would actually put it a little bit higher. I was thinking probably like B. I think B is fair. It's also free. So if you're thinking about it, like, you know, I mean, it's like, but it's free in terms of money. It's not free in terms of time. That's
okay. So it's going in C.
All right. Dang. Oh man. Yeah. Here come the comments. Okay. chess base. Great. Something less the controversial.
Say, well, this content was free and you guys are right. You suck. That's the low-hanging comment.
Yeah.
Too bad. Time I spent listening to these clowns.
Before we go into Chessbase, I guess I should talk about the cost. So it's a little bit confusing. There's like a lot of economic models. There's different tiers. But you kind of need to buy the latest version of Chessbase. That'll be a couple hundred dollars. And then you need to buy a database that's then searchable, and that's often also a couple hundred dollars. Then you can buy courses on top. But I think what I'm talking about when I think about Chessbase is that combination of the Chessbase itself plus the database. And so, yeah, we're several hundred dollars, and then you have to buy it, you kind of buy again when the new database comes out, or when the new Chessbase, eventually you're going to want to up your game if you were a Chessbase user and get like the latest model or whatever. So kind of expensive.
Yeah. In general, I feel like it can last a couple of years. There are definitely some people I know, I like see them, they still got like Chessbase 9 or something. I'm like, yeah, just use this. I'm like, all right, that works for you. But yeah, a couple hundred bucks is definitely a good estimate there. Okay. Where are you guys? I can't imagine where you guys are going to put this one.
Is that going to be better or worse than two private lessons with Jesse Coast, yeah?
Okay, well, look, for me, I use ChessBase a lot, and I have been using it for many years. I feel like for professional players, it's definitely necessary. So it's almost like, I don't know, it's like one step under tournaments, you know, for me. It's in terms of like necessary, basically, because I mean, everyone uses it, right? And if you want to like work with another player and, you know, they're going to like send you a file or something, like usually, yeah, you're going to need ChessBase. Not always. So, yeah, I feel, but for the, like the vast majority of people, I mean, I don't think it's necessary. So, you know, if we're talking about like the average like club player, then I think it's a lot less needed. Especially wow. So now.
For yourself, you're saying it's like an A or a B even.
Yeah, yeah. Personally, yeah, I would rank it quite highly. Probably A. Wow. In terms of just how much time I spent on it, mm-hmm. How much I rely on it. I also use it, I mean, for like teaching, like looking at my students' games, keeping track of their games, obviously like annotating games, analyzing games, but like creating coaching material, creating courses, researching, like looking up games, positions. ChessBase does have very useful search functions. Like if you want to find, and I used it a lot for like random courses I did where I wanted to find, you know, positional sacrifices or whatever, any example, it's super useful for that. So yeah, for me, it's been great, but I mean, I don't know. I don't think my use case is exactly the typical one. So, I mean, I would put it really depends on the rating. I mean, if it's like a low rated player, like under 1500, I mean, it's like, you just don't need it at all. So it's like D tier, you know, but high rated players, I would say it goes up. So actually this one's really hard because it really, I think, just depends on your level.
That's a good point. Okay. I agree for like people above master level, let's say it starts to move up towards like the A, it'd be like A range.
Wow. I totally am a fight you
and
guys.
And for beginners, it's completely useless. It's a D. You know, I mean, now there's like free online databases that are some alternatives to it, right? Like Lee Chess and Chess.com both have online databases of games, right? Chess Games has an online database of games.
All right, I can't take it. I got to say something. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, listen. 1998, ChessBase was S tier. It was fantastic. And now it's got competitors, and there's so many problems with ChessBase. And their support is awful. The learning curve is horrendous. And it's gotten to the point where it's just dysfunctional for me. Like I've been using it for, imagine this. I've been using ChessBase since 1998. It was the reason I couldn't get a lot of dates because the chicks I wanted to go out with were using Mac. And I didn't know, I couldn't ever use Mac because ChessBase didn't run on a Mac.
Jesse, we did this episode 2 weeks ago.
I know. I'm just telling you. I know. Listen up.
It's only been 2 weeks.
but here's the problem is that, so it's gotten worse rather than better. And I just want to do a couple like basic things. Does it have a thing to show the time usage like we do on our site? No, it can't
it's
even
not
figure
a
that
basic
out.
Basic things.
When I ask the guy, I'm like, dude, because I did the annotations on our editor, right? And I want to put it back into my games file that I've been keeping for years on ChessBase. And I asked the dude, I'm like, listen, buddy, I need to transfer the annotations in. When I copy it into ChessBase, it doesn't copy over the annotations. And he doesn't give me an answer for weeks. And then when he finally gives me an answer, it doesn't work. So it's like, there's things I can't do in ChessBase, right? And then also it's really peculiar is that now you have all these other free things that have databases. And if there were to be a value in ChessBase, it would be curated games. But they're putting in the same things in their database with the Title Tuesday games and yada, yada. Oh, and so you just, I don't understand what the value is then, Baus. And we're just running the same thing that I can, with Jack built out our thing and has the Lee Chess database built into there. Why is that not the same then if I'm going to just, when I use ChessBase, I get all these other games?
Or if I use, Hold on,
I'm not done. Okay. If I'm going to use fancy computer analysis, which I do, and that's why I use ChessBase, I can now use Chessify or something else. Oh, my God. Completely pointless. C. C for ChessBase.
So, okay. So, a couple points on that. So, number one, maybe it's changed recently, but, yeah, the Lee Chess database has never been as up-to-date as, like, any, like, live, like, ChessBase database. Maybe it's better now, but when I used it before, it was always like several months behind. So you wouldn't get the latest games. You can filter out blitz games in ChessBase. So that is a thing. so that solves that.
It would take about an hour to learn, dude, how to do it with ChessBase, dude. All those things it takes. You got to spend an hour Googling it. Then you got to go to their support staff.
They're a learning process for sure. Comment,
and then they're on European vacation time, so they never get back to you, dude. Forget about it.
I don't know. Maybe it's just me. My my experiences with their support has been very simple. You know, there have been a couple of times where, like, my serial key stopped working. I need to add ChessBase to another computer. They messaged me, like, I don't know, a few hours later and done. So I don't know. My experience has been fine.
Oh, man. Ghosty, yeah. You're coming across Jesse's son here.
All right, David, where's it going for you, Bows?
I couldn't keep track of all the details of what Jesse said. But all I could think, Kostia, was like, if this is how mad he is about some dates that didn't happen, imagine if ChessBase had set him up with a bad date. Imagine how much he would hate their software then. Yeah. I think since professional players are a small minority, we have to overall rank ChessBase fairly low, especially with alternatives coming up that are, you know, competitive and or, you know, cheaper or free. I think Jesse is actually right. You know, you can call him like a boomer all you want, folks, but I think he is actually, you know, being a futurist here. And, you know, when he described in a previous episode how ChessBase is in imminent danger of being a once great chess company. So I think, yeah, I think like C is probably fair now for,
yeah.
They're offering.
So I was going to go B because for me, it's okay. Like, yeah, depending on the person, it's S through a D. So for me, right, it's like so a
it's
solid
C. Then. It's a C.
B.
By
average.
The way, I do want
to
say,
does that feel good, Jesse? Do you feel good to be able to put it there?
Yes, he's fine.
Put it. But I do want to say this. What is very important for any chess player is somewhere you need a file that's called My Games. That could be a Lee Chess study. It could be, you know, there's so many different ways to do it. And that's one of the key things that professional players, also any, if you're not a professional player, you need to have that file. So that's like, for me, the bedrock of my use of ChessBase. And it's a pain in the butt now. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lee Chess Studies, S tier. next, online sites. Okay, so this basically just includes any sites that, let's say, aren't, like, super established. Like, chess.com, I think, is very specific. It's not, let's say, similar to other sites. But there's lots of sites that kind of pop up. Like, a couple recent examples, just off the top of my head, like, Decode Chess, Aim Chess. They're both kind of, like, AI-based, like, plug in your games or like your username and then they analyze and they give you like a plan and stuff.
Chess Tempo for Tactics?
Chess Tempo, yeah, I think, right. They got like a premium thing. ChessBase has like a premium subscription thing. So in general, they could be anywhere from like $15 to $50 a month or so, or maybe $100 or $150 for the year, something like that. I don't know, it might depend. But they're going to be less like, let's say, there won't be like coaching involved. I would put that in like online programs. So it's really more like online tools, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
This one's kind of vague because there's so many sites out there.
A lot of different ones. Yeah.
Yeah. We could skip this one, right?
But Ghost? They're popular.
Yeah.
We don't want to skip it. I don't know. I'd give it like, it can depend. There might be some winners. I don't know. In general, I feel like it's like a B or a C because I feel like it needs to be developed, especially the AI stuff. A lot of it right now is just like, you know, on Tuesdays you play 17% better in the opening than on Mondays, you know, and it's just like, okay, I don't know. I think the tech there needs to kind of mature a little bit, because I do see the value in getting like kind of insights like this about your games, especially how you're scoring, maybe what your weaknesses are. But I don't know if it's quite, I just don't quite buy it yet.
I don't know if I should be allowed to do a ranking because I'm not so well versed in these sites, but I haven't seen or heard of one that seemed useful or good to me. So
I've definitely seen ones that are intriguing. Like I liked Kostya's review of the Chessify site, and you know, especially for something like with, if I wanted to do a computer analysis that's really hectic, you know, great. I could, yeah. So there's a variety. That's why it's hard for me to judge.
It can be a niche. Like, yeah.
I would have to kind of know exactly what site we're talking about. And there's so, it feels like there's just mushrooming in the amount of sites that are out there too. It's just so many, right?
Yeah. Well, we can skip if you guys don't want to like rank it.
Yeah. Let's skip that bad boy.
Okay.
All right, my friends, we're coming to my S tier.
S tier.
My one S tier.
Nice chess.
And I would, you know, Kostya was the one who put nice. I would want to say wooden chess set. You need a wooden set. Wooden. And I'll just describe it, you know. So most kids grow up playing with, you know, a cheap plastic set, and that's fine. I grew up with that too. But when you make a push for really improving, you're going to want to spend a lot of time with this set, and it should have something nice about it. You should enjoy touching the pieces. You should become familiar with the pieces. It shouldn't be something junky that you're interacting with. Right. So like my set, it's been through some knocks too. It's been around, dude. And the pieces, they kind of, you know, one friend of mine said they kind of have the similar color, you know, because I've touched them so much. But and they all like the rooks are all missing various turrets. This knight had a terrible fall one day from the a terrible fall. I've tried to heal him. No bueno. I've had this set. I got it for under $100. Great investment, simply great investment. So that's my one S tier. You want to improve, get yourself a nice set and say, I'm going to spend some time with this thing. Yeah.
Well,
we're in shock.
No, I mean, I like a nice set too. I also, I just realized, you know, another big thing we could think about is like e-boards, because those are pretty new and those are kind of pricey, but a lot of people are very into e-boards. And I'd say it's a little bit different than like a nice chess set, because those are going to be more like tech based.
Right. And pretty soon we're going to have to say, do you need an Oculus to play VR chess, dude? You know?
Yeah.
We don't have enough experience yet to do that one.
No, I mean, nice set is nice. I mean, it's very enjoyable. The wooden set I have here in my apartment, I got it from the St. Louis Chess Club. It was literally love at first touch. Like, they have these sets at their club, and I remember I was just like playing some blitz on one of them or like analyzing. And I was like, oh my God, like the pieces, they just felt perfect. You know, it's just immediate. You know, I just knew, and then I just got a set from them. But so, yeah, no, I mean, it's very enjoyable. I mean, so I feel you, Jesse. I feel you. I'd probably go like, and there's a lot of chess sets. So, yeah, I mean, I think like a normal wooden chess set is maybe something like maybe like $80 to $100 for the board.
Yeah, something like that.
And then something like that for the pieces maybe. So it's not like the cheapest thing, but they do last, you know, forever basically. So, yeah, probably like eight here.
Okay. The communist is not with us on this, my friend. No. This is a bourgeois thing that we're into, my friend. He's going to put this thing lower.
What was that, P tier?
I don't even know what I need to say. D, F. Wow. Completely useless.
What?
Yeah. No, I knew this was coming. I knew this was coming. This is coming, yeah.
A wooden set is fine, but you don't need to spending more money on your chess set doesn't make you any better at chess.
Oh, yeah, it does, dude.
Mm-hmm. No, it doesn't.
It leads to more study time, leads to more enjoyment, leads to more training hours, no, more dojo points.
More study time is passion. Passion. Nothing to do with pieces.
I don't know.
Okay, I don't know. So that's, we got an S tier. Kosti, were you on A or S or something like that?
I'll say A, A tier.
Okay. And I don't know. You tell me, where does that average out when he puts
with it? With a D, I would say that averages out to like a B.
Okay.
So I'm giving it a negative, what at the lowest I can go, Kosti. Yeah.
That's the communist POV, my friend, right there. Oh, wait, I did the wrong one.
No, this has nothing to do with communists or not.
Yes, it does, dude. It's the knows. Communists I'm don't like material things, dude.
I'm just calculating the benefit per dollar of all these things.
Uh-huh. It's okay, boss. It's okay to be a communist. Someday we're going to talk about it. We're going to do a Dojo Talks Politics. That will. Then we'll get
let's do a tier list of all the different stuff. Okay, last one, magazines. We got New in Chess is, you know, big one worldwide. There's also like Chess Life, American Chess Magazine, lots of them. Generally not that expensive. It's like a yearly subscription, but it can be. I used to subscribe to New in Chess, actually. It was something like 100, 120 per year or so. I would say
let's clarify, decent. Actually. I think New in Chess is now owned by Chesscom, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So new in Chesscom. I probably go B. I think magazines actually have a bigger tendency to not get read versus books, because with a book, it's like, okay, you buy it, like you're excited, you're probably going to go through a little bit. With a magazine, it's like you can't control it. They just come every month. I haven't read like 95% of the magazines. I'm in Chess Life, you know, receiver for decades, and I haven't read most of them. So they're cool, but yeah, definitely you're going to suffer from a lack of use, I feel like. But the new in Chess content, I mean, I think it's really high quality. Like they get annotations from like the top players, they get like really interesting articles, you know, so I feel like definitely the content is good. It's just, you don't always have time to go through it.
Where are you ranking it?
I'd probably give them a B, because they're on the cheaper side.
Okay.
There can be some good material in there.
How many do you get in a year from New in Chess if you buy a subscription? Like, how many magazines do I get for $120 versus I could have bought, you know,
I think you get 12. I think you get one a month.
Okay. So they're costing like half as much as a book. Except that I got all my books from used bookstores for $1 or $2. But, I mean, some people
and
buy
they also would have those, what are they called, yearbooks or something like that?
Yeah, the yearbooks are a little bit different. I would say those are like kind of like opening books, opening surveys. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah,
those I'm less fond of.
So I would say magazines back in the day would be kind of between A and B. And that had a lot to do with the fact that since you had so many people reading them, the content of the magazines was pretty high. New in Chess, but also like Inside Chess back in the day was a great magazine. And it was also like there was no online database, so it was the way to see and find top rated games. Also games that, let's say, were curated in the sense if you just got your informant, it would just be a bunch. And this would be more curated, like by opening or whatever it was they were talking about in the article. Now I feel it's really gone mostly downhill and it's not necessary. So I would put it as a C. And obviously, a little bit like online sites, some magazines are better than others. Like US, like Chess Life has been a catastrophe since I was a kid. It was always been awful. And they force you to buy it. Like, they force people to buy a membership that then includes this horrible rag of a magazine.
I think it's an option now. Actually, I think it's an option.
They delinked it eventually.
Yeah. Oh, God. Thank you so much. It was just such a terrible, terrible thing. And unfortunately, I have GM privilege, so they just send it to me. And I'm like, oh, God, you know, take it away. But this, I would say New in Chess kept it on a higher level the longest. But I feel, and that was like the magazine that like the like strong players were reading stuff. But I just feel that that isn't happening anymore. So, yeah, not a great value for the money. I'm gonna put it C.
Yeah,
I do.
For me, it's the borderline between C and D. As actually Kevin James said in chat, you know, they're really not tailored, right? To what you want to study necessarily, right? We talked about how other material was or wasn't organized and whether it was part of a course or a learning program or this or that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just random, right? It's just whatever like comes up. And in that sense, you're not going to connect with it in the sense that, like, you know, you were planning to work on your Rook endgames this month, and then a new in chess comes in and somebody annotated a game they played with a bishop endgame, right? Like, what are you doing with it? And then the cost, you know, you have to say this is the cost of the thing is comparable to, you could pick up four or five books you really want at that cost, even at more like market rates than what I paid for chess books.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, a year of chess.com diamond membership that obviously blows it away by a 1,000,000-to-1 factor. I would prefer having one chess lesson with Jesse to having New in Chess magazine, actually, because I feel like I would more immediately connect with that lesson and it would address what I really needed to get out of something and help me work through something. And again, I would use lessons, you know, sparingly, but, you know, I would get more out of a point like that, I think. So yeah, for me, it's like around the C- range, which I think.
Okay. Average. There it is. Then.
I think we're getting C average. Yeah.
C average. All right.
Wow. Yeah.
And like Jesse, I think they used to be great when there was, like, you know, when we were starved for anything, you know, I learned from Chess Life, which Jesse is, like, you know, slamming as being bad among chess magazines. But I learned from, you know, Pandolfini Solitaire Chess and stuff like that, you know, where, you know, the explanations weren't that good. You know, he didn't correctly analyze the game before putting it in there. So he wasn't necessarily telling you if you were right or wrong with your answers or anything. Right. But it was, you know, a first kind of exercise and a sweat work that I figured out to be able to replicate and, you know, put in time on. It was something when we had so little. But now, you know, you've got, you know, my S tier kind of things, right? Like a training program, a chess.com membership that gives you access to everything, a local chess club where you can get inspired and hang out with people. And I just don't see where a magazine would fit in anymore. They're not classics that you need, like, you know, the tournament book of the New York 1924 or something, right? You don't need it.
Did you recently get mated? Well, it's time to join the Chess Dojo training program. Or maybe you just enjoy this fine content. Give us some money on the Patreon. I need to keep the lights on. And with inflation, it's really hard for Kostya to be buying that avocado toast.
Alrighty. All right. Okay, so here's where we're at with the tier list. We got no S or D averages. So there's nothing we all love and equally hate. We got five things in the A tier: books, tournaments, online programs, clubs, and chess.com membership. B tier includes camps, courses, group classes, and a nice chess set. And C tier is going to be coaching, free content, chess space, and magazines.
You even laughed at yourself for where you let nice chess set land, Kostya. You just laughed at yourself.
No, it's just like, it's just, no, I mean, I'm not responsible for where it landed. I would put it in A. It's you're a collective effort. just find it funny that that's where it ends up. and maybe just to recap. So for David, your S tier things were tournaments, chess.com, and clubs.
Yeah.
And did you say online programs as well?
Online programs, I gave a strong A.
Okay. For me, I think my top two would be books and clubs, probably.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then I generally agree. Like, for me, the A tier is better than the B tier and so on. Mm-hmm. And Jesse had one S tier, which was a nice chess set.
That's right.
And multiple D tiers, if I remember correctly. okay, great. Well, there you have it, folks. The objective list, how to spend your money on chess 2024. Maybe we'll, one day come back to this and review or do an update show. We'll see. But yeah, another winner for the podcast. All right, y'all. Thanks for watching. Or listening. Catch you next time.